Well, we're very pleased to see so many. And just for a few minutes, I want to read some verses concerning the shepherd of the sheep, person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read in the poetic books of the Bible, the Song of Solomon. Now, right in the center of our Bible, there are five poems, five Hebrew poems. It's called the poetic part of our Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. When we read the book of Ecclesiastes, we could write over it, "Under the sun, and under the sun all is vanity, a material world of vanity and vexation of spirit." And as we look at things under the sun today, we see nothing tangible, nothing satisfying. But in the Song of Songs, we heard this morning one of our brethren quote, "Under his shadow is great delight." Under the shadow of Christ, there is true satisfaction. So this little book has to do with the love of the Lord Jesus for all his people. Whatever other interpretations there may be, I simply speak of it as a book that passes every dispensation, and it's the love of God for his people in all ages and their reciprocal love for him. It's a fascinating book, and I love to speak from it as occasions arise. Now, this afternoon, I'd like to read in chapter 1 a few verses. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 1, verse 2. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee, or better, therefore do they rightly love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Here we have that expression I want to look at. "They rightly love thee." Now look down at verse 7. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest," and the word here is "where thou feedest thy flock like a shepherd, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" And then we have the answer here. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these lovely portions of his word. What I'm going to occupy your attention with is the question of the spouse here, the twofold question. And I'm going to apply that to the question of a young believer, any young believer that has recently been saved, who would have a concern and an exercise as to what he should do with his life and with whom he should gather and meet. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou feedest thy flock as a shepherd, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." Here are two requests that the spouse has. A request to be fed, to seek a place of feeding, and a place of rest, a place of peace. And then the answer of the shepherd is, "If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth in the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." Here we have the answer to her twofold request. We have a twofold answer. If you want to be fed, feet beside the shepherd's tents. If you want to find the place of fellowship and rest, then go thy way forth in the way of the footsteps of the flock. So here we have the shepherd and the answer to the sheep that desires to find food and rest. Now this lovely passage, these two verses about the shepherd and the sheep, they have a fivefold introduction in these other verses that I read. And I just want to mention this fivefold introduction. In fact, it's an introduction to the whole book. If you had these five verses before your attention, it would lead you into all the different avenues where we see the person of the Lord Jesus. And let me say that there are nine beautiful full-length portraits of the Lord Jesus in the Song of Songs. He's presented as the king, as the gardener, as the lord of the vineyard, as the merchantman, as the bridegroom, as the guide of his people. It covers every facet of our life, these beautiful illustrations in this song. But here we have a fivefold introduction that I have thought a great deal about. The first one is the kiss of the bridegroom. The kiss of the bridegroom. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, the kiss of communion. You know, we know very little about this nearness to the Lord in communion. It might be a very interesting thing to speak about the kisses of the Bible. I was thinking this morning about the Father's kiss, the kiss of forgiveness. That's the first kiss that we got. When we came as sinners, I hope everyone here has had that first kiss, the kiss of forgiveness. When we came along the highway lost and guilty, and we came into the presence of the Father, and we said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And we read in Luke 15 that he fell on his neck and he kissed him much. The kiss of forgiveness. That's the beginning of Christian life, to have that first kiss in the past. The kiss of the Father. And then we're looking forward to having a kiss in the future. Barzillai was a man that served David during his absence. He was faithful to David when he was rejected by man. He gave of his substance for the helping of David and the furtherance of the kingdom. And when David came back, returned again, a picture of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, we read these lovely words, that the king kissed Barzillai. And there we have the kiss of reward in a day to come. We have all here, I hope, received the kiss of forgiveness the day of our conversion. And then we look forward to the day when we're going to meet the king in his beauty. And we read the king kiss Barzillai. I hope we'll all get that kiss of reward. But now we have read in this passage of the kiss that is presently enjoyed, the kiss of communion, the kiss of the bridegroom, the kiss of his love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I'd like to ask you, is it long since you had a kiss from the lover of your soul, when you received a message from his lips that won your heart and touched your heart? Kisses of communion. We have to get near to him to enjoy the kiss of the bridegroom. So the way to enjoy the shepherd is first of all to enjoy the nearness of communion, the kiss of his mouth. And let us look at the second thing in this introduction. And here we have the love of his heart, the kiss of his lips, the love of his heart. Thy love is better than wine. It's a wonderful thing to appreciate the love of the Lord Jesus. I was so glad that our young brother gave out that hymn of William Featherstone this morning, because it's a unique little hymn. It was written by a boy of 16 when he was first converted. And when he wrote the hymn, he sent it to his aunt who lived in the city of Los Angeles. He was the only Canadian that ever wrote a hymn that's in the Believer's Hymn Book. That lovely hymn, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. He was only 16 years of age. And there's a pact today in the United Church of St. James in Montreal in memory of William R. Featherstone, who wrote that lovely hymn. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. 'Tis thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus, 'tis thou. He died 9 years later when he was 25 years of age. A young light, but we know nothing about William Featherstone, only this, that he wrote that lovely hymn that we sang today. He appreciated the love of the Lord Jesus. I hope we all appreciate his love. Thy love to me was wonderful. Wonderful love. Thy love to me is wonderful, we can say. David said about the love of Jonathan when he died, thy love to me was wonderful. That love came to an end at death. But we can say thy love to me is wonderful. It outlives life and death. He loveth us. The word, the verb in Revelation 1 is a very unusual one, as Mr. Crawford could well tell you, that unto him who loveth us, it means he hath loved us, and he loves us still, and he will love us forever. The kiss of his mouth, the love of his heart. But then we have another thing here, the fragrance of his name. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. These are the steps that lead me to the shepherd. The kiss, the love, and then the name. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Will take us to Exodus 30, the holy anointing oil. And in it were those delightful spices, those ingredients, brought from the mountains of Lebanon, and from the little shrubs, and some of them from the depths of the sea, from the crushing of the crab brought up out of the waters. But whether it was from the deep, or from the mountain, or from the growing shrub in the desert, they were put together by the art of the apothecary, and they sent forth the sweet savor, that holy oil. Thy name is as ointment, the holy anointing oil, the ointment poured on Aaron, that ran down upon his beard and descended to the skirts of his garments, where the bells were. The only music in the tabernacle were those golden bells, and the fragrance of Aaron as he moved in the garments for glory and beauty. I've often said if we had seen Aaron in those garments for glory and beauty with the mitre on his head and the breastplate upon his heart, we would have said he's a feast for the eyes. He was altogether lovely to look at, clothed in those garments in awesome beauty, lovely to look at. But not only was he a feast for the eyes, but he was a fragrance for the heart. As he moved, the precious ointment of his name poured forth, and the fragrance of his person as he moved amongst the thousands of Israel long ago. And so we have a feast for the eyes, a fragrance for the heart, but we have melody for the ears. As he moved, those golden bells brought melody. You know what John Newton wrote? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. The melody of the Savior. We are gathered in a place where his name is over everything. We gather here today, not in the name of a denomination. Never call yourselves the brethren with a capital D. Every person that is saved is one of the brethren. We're just brethren with a small D. Brethren, gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang Miss Wellesley's lovely hymn this morning, gathered to thy name, Lord Jesus, closing eyes to all but thee. And so we don't gather around a man, and we don't gather around an ordinance, and we don't gather around a creed, and we don't gather as we do because our people before us gathered, but we gather because we gather around him. And that name is the name of authority and the person to whom we gather. Thy name is as ointment poured forth, the kiss of his lips, the love of his heart, the fragrance of his name. There's something else here, the attractiveness of his person. Draw me, we will run after thee. The attractiveness of his person. When we were saved, we were attracted to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And we were drawn to a person. It was the same after our conversion. The thing that drew me to the assembly was the place they gave to the person of the Lord Jesus. I had never heard so much about his person. I had never heard men speak so tenderly about his person. I had never seen men with tears in their eyes speak of the loveliness of his person. He was altogether lovely in that assembly. And when I came, I was drawn to his person. Now let us think, having thought of the kiss of his lips, and the love of his heart, and the fragrance of his name, and the attractiveness of his person, and the access to his presence. The king hath brought me into the chambers, access right into the presence of God as worshippers. Where do we worship? Well, this is not our place of worship. We don't worship in the gospel hall. We don't worship in any earthly place. Whenever we come together to remember the Lord and then to worship, we worship in heaven. We enter inside the very presence of God where angels fear to tread, and we worship God by the Spirit and pour out our thanksgivings. Our bodies rest here in a meeting room, but our spirits rise into the very presence of God. And the king hath brought me into his chambers, access to his presence. And one day we're going to be there bodily, maybe before another day is done. Now listen to these two questions. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. And one of the great things for young Christians is the feeding upon the Word of God. Everyone who would feed the Lord's people must prepare that food. I used to preach with a brother, and he would say to me often, you know, I preach today without preparing. And then he would say to me, what do you think of it? Well, I said, I knew before you told me. You know, preparation. If you're going to feed the Lord's people in the ministry, or feed the Lord's people in the Bible reading, you've got to prepare. Gideon, he prepared food. He was there seen under the oak, and he was using a threshing instrument. He was threshing wheat to hide it from the Midianites. Midian means strife. There was much strife in the land in the days of Gideon. But he prepared food so that he might be able to feed his family, bring food to the people of God. We heard about Joseph this morning, and he's the man that stored food. In the days of plenty, he stored the food in the bins of Egypt. And when there was no food in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh said, there's one man who has a food supply. You know, there's one thing we need in the assembly is a food supply. We need brethren that have fresh things and that have gathered food out of the Word of God to be able to feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Young believers need feeding, and old sheep need feeding. We all need a feeding ministry. We read in Isaiah 40, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs with his arms. And And we see some lambs here that he has gathered with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Young believers need to be carried in the bosom of the shepherd. There are two types of believers that need the special attention of the shepherd. And the first is the lambs of the flock. He carries them in his bosom. And the others are the old sheep like myself. You know what we read about them? To hoar head will I carry thee. And old brethren like us, we need to be carried in the bosom of the shepherd as well. And he seems to have a special interest in young Christians. A brother said to me, how can there be a relationship between old brethren and young Christians? Well, I found a number of reasons that we have something in common. First of all, the shepherd has a special attention to young believers, carries them in his bosom. And then he has a special taste for old believers. He carries them, even to gray hair will I carry thee. I don't know what he does with you middle-aged ones. So you're either young or old as far as the shepherd is concerned. And then another beautiful picture is when the ark would bring them across the desert. When they started on their journey, the ark went before them to find a resting place. Usually when they traveled along the 40 years, the ark was in the midst, always in the midst of the company. But at the beginning of their journey, when they started out, the ark went before them, and they followed the ark. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And then right at the end of the journey, when they came to the River Jordan, that ark left its usual central place and went before them to lead them through the Jordan. He said, you're quoting those lovely words today, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd is with me. It's a delightful thing. When we start out as young Christians, he leads us out. And then when we're getting near the end of the journey, he leads us home. The special attention of the shepherd. What a lovely thing that is. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. The other thing we need is rest. One of the most cruel tortures that the Japanese gave in the concentration camps was this, was to keep men awake. You can go without water, and you can go without food. For 40 days and 40 nights the Lord went without food. Men can go a long time without food, less time without water, but none of us can do without rest. We need rest. And you know, as we move about, we see that the Lord's people have many trials and turmoils, and rest is taken from their eyes and from their heart. The stress of life. Where can we find rest? Where thou makest thy flock to rest. Thank God we can rest around the shepherd. He feeds us. What a gentle person he is, like a shepherd feeding his flock. And then we read those lovely words in that passage that I quoted. Not only does he carry the lambs in his bosom, but he gently leads those that are with young. And what that is not a ewe that is born or young, but it is a ewe that's carrying her young. A ewe that is bearing her young, a great burden for the ewe that are young. And the shepherd looks at the flock, he feeds them, he carries them, he tends them, he gathers them. But as he looks at these that have a burden, the ewe with her burden, we read those lovely words, he gently leads those that have a burden. There's many of the Lord's people of burdens today. Wherever we go, we find them. And what do we read? He gently leads those that have a burden. If you've got a burden today, we're able to tell you that the shepherd cares. Is there anyone to help us who can understand our hearts? Perhaps you've got a burden that you couldn't tell to the brethren. They wouldn't understand. Maybe you've got a burden that you can't reveal to anyone that's near to you. There are many burdens in family life, many burdens in home life, many burdens in marital relationships, many burdens in the assembly, secret burdens that people carry. I have heard so many, Mr. Crawford has heard so many as we journey, the burdens of people that come and tell us of their burdens. We try to help them. The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. If we're going to be any help to the Lord's people, we need to enter in and sympathize with them and have an ear to lend to their burdens. But there's only one that can really sustain. I love the words of Joseph Scriven. Listen to it. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turns aside to the flock, thy companions? You know, the shepherd has many companions, and some believers have turned aside to the flocks of the companions. They have gone to listen in denominations to the companions of the shepherd. Oh, I'm so glad I want to be where the shepherd is himself, to gather with his people around the shepherd. Now here's the answer. If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth in the footsteps of the flock. Our brother Crawford is going to give us some of those footsteps of the flock. Where do we get them? In Acts chapter 2. The footsteps of the shepherd is in the Gospels. Peter said he left as an example he should follow his steps. If I want the steps of the shepherd, I read of his footsteps in the four Gospels. But when I want the steps of the little flock, I read the book of the Acts. What's the footsteps of the flock? Then they that gladly received his word, the footstep of conversion. We're baptized. Brother Crawford's going to speak a little about that. The footsteps of the flock lead me to the waters of baptism like these dear girls today. The footsteps of the flock lead me to the assembly where I'm added. There were added unto them 3,000 souls. And then the footsteps of the flock lead me into the green pastures of his word. They continued in the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship of the assembly. And the footsteps bring me to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. May God grant that you might walk in those blessed footsteps of the flock, and that we might feed our kids. Feed our kids. We can't feed them at ball games. A ball game might be all right in its place, but you don't feed the saints at a ball game. You don't feed the kids at the movies. You feed the kids beside the shepherd's tents. That's what we're trying to do. We'd like to be shepherds and feed the kids with the word of God. Beside the shepherd's tents, may God bless his word for Christ's sake.